Hello and welcome to Radio Prague. It's time now for this news update. Stanislav Gross has officially stepped down as the country's prime minister, tendering his resignation at Prague Castle on Monday. Czech President Václav Klaus accepted the move, which paves the way for a new government coalition led by Social Democrat Jiří Paroubek, until now the Minister for Local Development. The new coalition will be made up of the same parties that have held power since 2002. The Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, and the Freedom Union. It is expected that the new government could be named later on Monday by President Václav Klaus. And former Prime Minister Stanislav Gross has said he will set aside all personal ambitions in order to help the Social Democratic Party prepare for national elections next year. On Sunday, Mr. Gross suggested the Social Democrats needed to come up with an attractive new list of candidates. The former prime minister made the comments on a popular news talk show. During the broadcast, Mr. Gross rejected any suggestion he might step down as chairman of the Social Democrats, saying that he wanted his party to unite. In his words, holding an extraordinary party congress now would be political suicide. Speaking on the same program, Communist Deputy Chairman Wojciech Filip outlined conditions under which the Communist Party might back the new government in a confidence vote. He said the Communists will reconsider their stance if the new coalition ties the vote to proposed legislation on the declaration of property. Outgoing Prime Minister Stanislav Gross indicated that some form of declaration of property will be part of proposed legislation on the conflict of interest. It is not clear whether such legislation would apply retroactively. The incoming Czech Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek has told two leading Czech dailies that the Social Democrats could rule together with the Communist Party at some point in the future. Mr. Paroubek told the papers he thought the right-of-center civic democrats posed a greater threat than the communists today. In terms of a timeline, Mr. Paroubek says he imagines the Social Democrats and the Communists could open cooperation on the government level in the next 5 to 9 years. And Sunday saw the continuation of a 2-day conference in Prague attended by Communist representatives from 32 countries. The conference, attended by Czech Communist Party leader Miroslav Grebeníček, has drawn criticism from several groups, including the Confederation for Political Prisoners. A handful of protesters also demonstrated outside the conference venue at the weekend. In the Czech Republic, the communists have been largely frozen out of top political decision-making since 1989, although they finished third in the country's last elections. Turning to sport, Liverpool footballer Milan Baroš looks doubtful to start in the upcoming semi-final Champions League match. On Wednesday, his side faces off against London's Chelsea. Baroš may miss the first leg showdown after he suffered a knee injury in the English Premiership at the weekend. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's the news. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Wellinger. Ahead. The government crisis has finally wrapped up as a new government gets ready for office. But just who is the new Prime Minister, Jiří Paroubek? And workers of the world unite. Well, maybe. Communists from 32 countries met in the Czech capital at the weekend, and we'll have a full report. That and much, much more is all coming up. After 2 months of turmoil, Prime Minister Stanislav Gross finally handed in his resignation on Monday morning. Mr. Gross had come under extreme pressure after allegations of irregularities in his personal finances. The three-party government resigned with him, but is due to reform immediately under a new leader, Jiří Paroubek, up to now the local development minister. But is the crisis that paralyzed Czech politics really over? And who exactly is Mr. Gross's replacement? Well, to find out the answer to those questions, we're joined by Paula Horáková.
Well, Jan, the 52-year-old deputy chairman of the Social Democrats only became a minister in Stanislav Gross's government last summer. In previous years, he was Prague's deputy mayor for economy, and some of Mr. Paroubek's colleagues from the City Hall describe him as a good manager and communicator, although some, including his former boss, one-time mayor Jan Kassel, have also accused him of arrogance. It is also quite interesting that in the 1970s and 80s, Jiří Paroubek was a member of the Czechoslovak Socialist Party, one of only two legal political parties in Czechoslovakia besides the Communist Party.
Now, I understand that sometime during those years, Pavla, Jiří Paroubek was also approached by the political police.
Indeed, the Communist Secret Police, the SDB, even listed him in its files. But last week, Jiří Paroubek presented a copy of a security clearance issued in 1992, proving that he did not collaborate with the SDB. The document says that he was only listed as a potential candidate for collaboration, which was a category used for people who failed to sign on. Despite that experience with the communist power, Mr. Paroubek is known to be quite lenient as to potential cooperation with the largely unreformed Communist Party of today. During the weeks of the government crisis, he even admitted a possible minority social democrat cabinet supported by the communists.
Now, the incoming government, which some are calling Gross's government without Gross, has only a year until the next general election. Has it set itself any special goals for this period?
Well, the absolute priority of the new cabinet will be the ratification of the European Constitution. And on the domestic front, it says it aims to reduce taxes for middle and lower incomes, start working on a pension system reform, put forward next year's state budget and also a number of other important bills. Those are listed in the pact signed on Monday morning by the three coalition parties, the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats and the Freedom Union. That pact also explicitly says that the parties will vote together on crucial issues and won't seek support from the Communist Party.
Now, speaking of crucial issues, the government is to ask for a confidence vote in the lower house within a month. From now, is it expected to get it?
Well, some say that the vote of confidence will be the moment when we'll be able to say that the government crisis is finally over. At the moment, some Social Democrat MPs who are dissatisfied with the new coalition agreement are hesitant to give their support to the government. At the same time, the communists have said that under certain terms, they might raise their hands in the vote.
Well, Pavla Horáková with that, thanks very much. And a lot of talk about the communists in that report, and we continue with them now. It was a little bit as if time had stood still. With its 1970s fittings and overall atmosphere, the high-rise Hotel Olympic in Prague still has a flavor of the old regime, and it seemed rather an apt venue for a gathering of communist and hard-left parties from around the world at the weekend. Under a banner pointing to a socialist future in large red letters, several dozen delegates from 32 different countries, mostly in Europe, but also including China, Vietnam, and North Korea, came together to discuss the future of socialism and security in Europe.
It's within our power to stop NATO's aggression. We must be in the front line of this struggle. We believe that victory will be ours. Thank you for your attention.
Speakers like Tobias Pflüger from the European United Left Nordic Green Left grouping in the European Parliament condemned European and US security policy, applauded by delegates sitting around tables with their various national flags. On Saturday, there was also a small anti-communist demonstration outside the hotel, but generally public and media interest was minimal, quite a contrast with the days before 1989. In an interview with Radio Prague's David Vaughan, conference delegate Miroslav Prokesh, who is a member of Prague's regional assembly for the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia, insisted that this was not a communist gathering in the old style.
The final aim of all participants here is socialism, but maybe in a different forms. So you can see a big difference from what had been convened by the Soviet Communist Party before 1990, where the unity must have been demonstrated. Now there is really a democratic broad spectrum of opinions here.
In the Czech media and in a wide section of the Czech public, there would be a great deal of suspicion of a conference like this, that it's the old guard trying to put the clock back.
I would not even say that it's prevailing here. There are individual opinions like that, but the prevailing majority looks in the future.
And in what sense do you mean that?
Well, some modern form of socialism, which has learned from the fall of the previous form of Soviet-shaped socialism or communism. So it will, according to Marx, shape a new, more democratic form of socialism.
And unlike many communist parties or formerly communist parties in Central and Eastern Europe, the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia has chosen not to change its name, to keep the name communist in its name. Is that not, in a sense, distancing itself from the process of reform?
We cannot distance ourselves from everything which has been before 1990, because, for example, full employment, social and health care and education for free. There were also big values which were also recognized in the West. But of course we distance ourselves from the negative phenomena of that era, like the political processes and even executions of political opponents.
But some would say that the very principle of the class war created, as it were, fertile ground for that kind of heavy hand of oppression.
You cannot turn history back. So as if the Catholic Church would gain full power now, certainly it will not come back to Inquisition, Crusades, or burning witches. So the same socialism will be shaped differently than in the 50s or the 70s. In the 21st century, it will be based on full respecting of human rights and democracy.
That was Miroslav Prokeš from the Communist Party of Bohemia and Moravia. A few seconds from the prelude from The Valkyrie, a piece which is a part of the famous tetralogy The Ring of the Nibelung by German composer Richard Wagner. The ring cycle, which is based on stories from German mythology, takes us into a world of gods, dwarves, and giants. The opera was originally intended to be performed as a whole, but it is so long and so demanding on the performers, opera houses usually put on only one section a season. But Prague's National Theatre has now decided to present the whole cycle for the first time ever in the Czech lands. Martin Mikule has more.
The Ring Cycle, being performed in Prague's National Theatre, is in co-production with the German theatre Deutsche Oper am Rhein from Düsseldorf. As the director of the performance, Kurt Horres, says, even though the whole tetralogy has never been featured in Prague, they believe that Richard Wagner's music will be well accepted by the Czech audience.
Well, I think you should not forget Wagner's music. Wagner is a composer of the very important Saxon. He's not German, he's a Saxon musician. And Saxony is not very far from Bohemia. So there have been so many influences. So, I mean, I think this is something which is also in the blood of musicians here. We're not talking about national borders.
Whereas the Rheingold and the Walkyrie have just been premiered, the other two pieces in the cycle, Siegfried and the Twilight of the Gods, are to be performed in the coming days.
Thanks, Martin. Exciting stuff indeed. And if you're interested to hear more about the Nibelung cycle in the National Theatre, well, listen to this Friday's Arts. You're tuned to Radio Prague, and from the heroics of Wagner, we now turn to heroics in sport, and that's with Ian Willoughby.
Less than a week from now, the Czech Republic play their first game at the Ice Hockey World Championships in Vienna. They won the tournament there 9 years ago, starting a golden era for Czech hockey. But if the Czechs want to take gold in Vienna again, they're going to have to improve on the form they showed against Finland at the weekend, in playoffs for third place in the Euro Hockey Tour. After a 3-all draw at home on Friday, the Czech team suffered a real cold shower on Sunday, losing 4-0 to come last in the four-nation competition. Coach Vladimír Ružička said he was surprised those players not certain of a place in the squad for the World Championships hadn't shown more fighting spirit. Megastar Jaromír Jágr is guaranteed a place in the squad, and didn't go to Helsinki. Instead, he was in Prague watching the Czech women's tennis team against Japan in the Fed Cup. Czech number one, Nicole Vajdičová, celebrated her 16th birthday on Saturday with a win. But she and teammates Peshkova, Benešova and Kokalova left it late to secure a victory, with the win in Sunday's doubles for Peshkova and Benešova making it 3-2 on games. The result means the Czechs can return to the Fed Cup's elite world group if they win a playoff in June. Next, it's women's basketball, and Brno came extremely close to winning their first ever European League final against Russia's Samara on Sunday. Brno coach Jan Bobrovsky suggested the Ukrainian referee may have favoured Samara, but said he was still proud of his players. Football and the much-anticipated clash between Czech striker Milan Baroš and goalkeeper Petr Cech in the Champions League semi-finals this week is under threat, after Baroš sustained a knee injury during a game for his club Liverpool. Cech, meanwhile, is now a very short step from the first league title of his career, with Chelsea all but guaranteed to win the English Premier League. Sparta Prague could win the Czech League next weekend, after a home win over Baník Ostrava. There's considerable rivalry between the two clubs, and there were a number of violent incidents in Prague ahead of Saturday's clash. There was also controversy during the match itself, when Sparta, trailing 1-0, were awarded a dubious penalty after an apparent foul on Meduna. Paborski converted and Zelenka netted a second to make it 2-1 to the champions-elect. With first place virtually decided, the real race is on for second and a place in the qualifying rounds of the Champions League. Teplice currently occupies second spot, and with a 5-2 win over Ceska Budějovice on Sunday, are now 5 points ahead of Olomouc, who beat Brno 1-0. That's all the sport for today.
And the end of the sport brings us to today's main feature with Fahima Kyle. Fahima looks at the Czech Republic 1 year after joining the European Union.
The Czech Republic has been through massive political and economic changes since the fall of communism 15 years ago. Having been isolated behind the Iron Curtain for 40 years, it became a full member of NATO in 1999. And on May 1, 2004, the Czech Republic was one of 10 nations to join the European Union.
The last surviving remnant of the Iron Curtain, that strange psychological wall that used to separate the old democracies from the post-communist ones, is finally breaking down.
Václav Havel, speaking about the reunification of Europe in the Prague NATO summit just over 2 years ago, a few months before he ended his second and final term as Czech president. The former dissident playwright ruled the country and previously Czechoslovakia for 13 years and made a great contribution to the country's development. I asked him what he felt joining the EU meant for the Czech Republic 1 year on.
Já myslím, že naše náš vstup do Severoatlantické aliance a do Evropské...
I think that joining NATO and the EU was a great success, certainly not just for me, but for a lot of people. We didn't just have to overcome opposition or mistrust in the Czech Republic towards these organizations, but we also had to persuade the organizations themselves that they should admit us. At that time, after the fall of the Iron Curtain, it wasn't at all certain that the structures and organizations of the rich and increasingly united Western countries would want to embrace the states which had been behind the Iron Curtain. I don't know how much this development was thanks to myself or others, or how much it is acknowledged and appreciated, but in my memory it is something of utmost importance. It does not only concern our country, but the whole New World Order. The fact that the fall of the Iron Curtain was taken seriously.
Totiž, že ten pád té železné opony byl vzat se vší vážností.
Joining the EU did not bring dramatic changes overnight, and views differ widely as to the benefits of EU membership. But one thing is clear, the huge optimism of the early 90s has been succeeded by a growing sense of realism, or even skepticism. Here are the views of a few people I spoke to in the streets of Prague.
Myslím si, že nám to bude trvat aspoň ještě 20 let.
I think it will at least take 20 years until we reach the standard of Western European countries.
Pokud člověk má práci, tak možná.
If you have a job, there is a good chance of improving your living standard.
Pro mě, protože jsem taky zaměstnanec státní správy, tak.
Working as a civil servant, I can say that since last year the administration has definitely expanded, partly too much.
Zvýšila administrativa, mnohdy i zbytečná.
A few voices from the streets of Prague. Jan Kassel, head of the strongly pro-integrationist European Democrats, thinks that Czechs are gradually beginning to become more European in their way of thinking.
Very slowly things are coming, and I would call them European standards. I would call them European point of view on solution of domestic problems. The accession on 1st of May opened the chance to integrate Czech Republic and to show that we are at least as well, as good as the rest. Not everybody is aware of the fact. I can start with the president. Our president, Mr. Klaus, is always accusing EU, is comparing, and it's really stupid comparison. And I would say that Klaus is destroying the image of the country and bringing wrong image of Czechs.
President Václav Klaus is the Czech Republic's most vociferous Eurosceptic, and his views are shared by the party he founded, currently the country's strongest opposition force, the Right of Center Civic Democrats, who are widely tipped to become the next party of government. They are openly opposed to introducing a European constitution. The party's foreign policy spokesman and member of the European Parliament, Jan Zahradil, feels that the Czech Republic has benefited little from EU membership so far.
I don't think that much has changed in the life of ordinary citizen. Perhaps the Czech Republic has, or at least I hope it has, established certain position within the European Union. It became a part of the single market. On the other hand, we see that the European Union itself still was not able to absorb fully this enlargement for 10 new members, and we see that it brings new and new complications. So life is not easier after our accession to the European Union. We can see that some European countries, especially old member countries of the EU, were facing and are still facing certain problems stemming from their domestic political situation. Some of them are trying to solve these problems for our account.
By contrast, European Democrat leader Jan Kassel argues that the EU has brought very concrete benefits.
Our environment is polluted, so EU is helping with all the wastewater plants to be built. Our roads are damaged after many years of communist regime. So EU is helping with linking Czech Republic into the European structure. Giving, for example, Prague, giving very good, I would say, cheap loans through or via European Investment Bank or direct funding through the structure funding for investment, for infrastructure. Then human resources. EU is focusing on development of human resources. EU is helping in coping with social exclusion. But for Czech economy, as a small, let's say, isolated economy, which is open from 95%, open to every influence from abroad, we are depending on exchange of goods as much as you can imagine.
Seeing these results, Jan Kassel is very optimistic for the future of the Czech Republic. But the Civic Democrats' Jan Zahradil argues that far from guaranteeing free trade and economic growth, the EU is in danger of stagnating if it fails to wake up to new global competitions.
I think that the Czech Republic is a mid-sized or maybe small-sized country. Definitely it's a country which belongs to the group of poorer members. So our main task is to create such conditions that would enhance our economic growth and that would strengthen our preconditions for achieving stability, security and prosperity. Europe has to recognize that despite the fact that this is still one of the wealthiest parts of the world, other parts of the world are also catching up and catching up very quickly. And I think that if Europe doesn't recognize that, and if Europe doesn't introduce appropriate measures and appropriate changes, and if Europe doesn't react appropriately, then European Union and my country as well as a part of the European Union could face a really serious problems within a foreseeable future, within some 20 or 30 years.
So a cold shower there from Jan Zahradil. But is this Euroscepticism really well-founded? Former president Václav Havel thinks not.
Já myslím, že tento euroskepticismus, speciálně český,
I think this Euroscepticism, especially the kind we see in the Czech Republic, has its own very peculiar social and historical explanation. In this country, we have a weird tradition of, paradoxically, combining a tendency towards collaborationism on the one hand with noisy patriotism on the other. And I see this in the Czech Euroscepticism, with its emphasis on national sovereignty and on how our nation state is under threat, a kind of unconscious expression of that very peculiar Czech tradition. It's a tradition that I reject, and I want to fight against it, as I have done all my life.
So there we have some very diverse Czech political perspectives on where the country stands 1 year into EU membership. It is still far from clear whether the Eurosceptics or the Europhiles will win over public opinion. And much depends on developments throughout Europe between now and when the Czech referendum on the EU constitution is held, whenever that may be.
The Ode to Joy ending today's program. I'm Jan Fellinger. For all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.